So we're gathered here in Relay. It's a beautiful day. As we're here in this corner of the earth, personally, I'm enjoying myself for the last 45 minutes. But I got a hunch that when I leave here, it might not be quite as pleasant. That's what it is when you're a broken world. A lot of good things, a lot of celebrations. And by the way, there is a luncheon following, and I hope you enjoy that. But how, as we live down here on earth, to me, a lot of life is about getting safely from earth to heaven. It's about getting somehow safely out of the brokenness into a far more heavenly place. To me, that's really much, if not all, what life is about. Helping ourselves get there and those around us. Having said that, please stand as we look at this scripture. One verse from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, where Timothy, pastoring a Christian community in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey now, is given this instruction, summarizing how he's to pastor. Hear the word of God. He says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The inspired word of God, may He put it deep into our hearts and lives. Please be seated. Where do you live? Literally, what is your address? And don't say it all at the same time. We're living down here in a community. On a street, maybe a city, a town. And you wake up in the morning and you happen to notice that some days you just don't feel like getting out of bed. And after you get out of bed, even if you feel like it, you find that, hey, this is pretty rough in this community, in this workplace, in this trying to raise a family or trying to cultivate friendships and all that is involved in living in any community. What a challenge it can be at times. It's great when we have successes. But the reality is, especially the older you get tired. You get tired of working through problems, figuring out solutions. Trying to, how can I get that child to be a better person? How can I get that boss to realize this is a stupid idea? How can I get myself to do the things that I know I should be doing, but I'm not? And yet I had the time to do them. Instead, I'd just rather plop down on the couch and lay there for 3 or 4 hours. Some of you. Some of you would be happy to get 15 minutes on that couch. Because everything is calling. And as soon as you leave it go or drop it, you're in even deeper trouble. And so we read a passage like this from Romans chapter 8. The whole creation was subject to a sense of futility and frustration because of the choices that human beings have made. It's a paraphrase. And now the entire creation eagerly awaits its liberation when this broken world will finally be made free, set free. Aren't you looking forward to that? To be set free from all the brokenness and frailty of living down here. The question is, will you be a part of that is set free? Will you be there as a participant in that glorious liberation? In this text, it's called salvation. It's a huge word. But it's talking about when finally everything is set right and made whole. Will you and the people around you be participating in that? That's really what this text is about. 1 Corinthians 2:9 puts it so well. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has yet heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Spirit of God has revealed it. We know a little bit about it. We have a little glimpse. And for many of us, we're longing for that fruition, for that blossoming time to be real." No doubt Timothy loved God. I have no doubt. And he came to love God early in his life because of his mom and his grandma, Lois and Eunice. And still, Paul tells him, "Timothy, keep a close watch on your life and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." When you study the Bible, it doesn't take long to figure out. It has different tenses. And when it speaks about being, quote, saved, being right with God, you know, salvation, we have it in the past. We have it now in the present. And the question is, will we have it in the future? I was saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. And this text here is really thinking of talking about that between the second and third stage. Will you persist in a living relationship with Christ? And it has two prongs to it. One is persisting in following Him, adjusting your life as He shows you things, reminds you of things. And the other is, obviously, persisting in the teaching that He has left for us here in this world. You know, theoretically, God could have, when you trusted Christ, can you remember the day? How many can remember the actual day or the time? If you don't worry about it. Raise your hand. Seriously. You can. Ready for numbers? Some of us were very privileged because we were young. And we can't recall exactly when that was. That's okay. The question is, are you trusting Him now? So, the thing is, if we're trusting Him, and the moment we do that, we could instantly, He could take us straight from justification to glorification, theoretically. Right? He could just give you the prize right now, but He doesn't choose to work that way. He's a very patient God. How about you, by the way? Sometimes we want to give it to me now. Instead, we have to spend some time thinking about my relationship with God, the people around us, worrying about them. It bothers us. We wonder, how are they going to end up in the end? How's that going to work out? And the truth is, you don't have really much control over them. Certainly a lot less than you do over yourself. And sometimes you wonder, man, how can I be so immature? Why haven't I gotten better than I am? Why aren't I further along at this point? Getting safely from earth to heaven doesn't happen in a moment. Unlike the thief on the cross, who appeared to get there rather quickly, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." For the rest of us, you know what? It's going to be 10 years, 20 years, 30. It might be 100 years before you finally make it. And you know what? You got to keep hacking away. Pressing on toward the prize. Where we should start worrying when we stop pressing. When other ideas get in our minds. And we start thinking that, oh, I can just slack off a little bit. You know what worries me? Let me tell you. I have these polls you hear every now and then. They're called lifestyle polls. They do a morality check on certain people, and they'll isolate a group, evangelicals or born-again Christians. Or I'd like to see a poll on Reformed Christians someday. But I don't know if anyone's ever done things like that, probably. But you see some of these polls about people who profess a relationship with Christ, and then invariably the result, they tell you these things. And I don't know how valid or accurate these things are, but it troubles me. And they say things like, you know, you look at these results, doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference between those who profess Christ and those who don't when it comes to behavioral matters. And even if they're only half close to the truth, that's troubling, isn't it? You know, the Bible has some pretty challenging statements. It says to people who don't allow God to get into their lives. When I was younger, I probably wouldn't say these things, but certain Bible passages that trouble me, and I didn't want to trouble you, so I just kind of like, maybe just kind of ease around those. But there are things where God says, you know, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Otherwise, I'd just prefer to spew you out of my mouth. Wow. Why'd that preacher get me upset like that? Probably got himself upset. You know, are things where it says, Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We've started a relationship with Christ, and now we're looking back and we're wondering, you know, he's asking me to do things that aren't all that easy sometimes. And hey, you know, he says, you're not fit for the kingdom. If you want to go back the other way, just go. Be gone. I'd rather be hot or cold. Otherwise, I don't really want to be dealing with you. Those aren't my statements. They're paraphrase of Christ's statements, really. And even when he says things like, in the end, some people will be wondering, and he say, you know, I don't even know who you are. You know, I was thirsty, and what did you do? Nothing. I was poor and hungry, and what did you do with your money and your resources? You did absolutely nothing. Depart from me. Those are troubling words. And so I like to hear, be reminded of things that the writer of Hebrews says to his followers or listeners as he was warning them. He says, you know, but I think better things of you. I'm thinking better things of you because I know who you are. Who does God say we are in Christ, if you're trusting in Christ? How does the Bible describe us? He says, you are the light of the world. You know what? You are the light of the world. And the light in you can't be hidden because the Holy Spirit is going to bring that light out of you. It's going to make you feel bad when there's a lot of dark things that need to be rid of. He says, you're the salt of the earth. You are the salt. You want the people around you to be preserved? That's what salt does, right? It preserves. You're worried about your colleagues. You're worried about your mom, your brother, from the deterioration of the immorality that creeps in. Hey, you know what? You are the preservative they need. You can't change their life, but you know what? You can be a bright light. And you can help position yourself so that they can see you don't have to deteriorate like the rest of the culture sometimes does in its morality and the way it lives and the kind of things they do. It does. The Bible says this about ourselves. We're born anew from above. We're a new people. It says if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't even belong to him. But Romans 8:9, I believe it is, says we have the Spirit of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And I think of a bride, what do you think? She's got that white gown on. I don't actually know they had that in the first century, but that helps me to get the point. Pure, innocent, holy. Romans 8:1, you are, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what Paul says here to Timothy, hey, you know, you need to be careful. You need to be watchful. You need to keep that purity. You need to be attentive. Be studious. Be conscientious. Be vigilant in your life. We can't let drunkenness and lack of self-control and other things that would steal away the beauty that we have in Jesus Christ. We pay careful attention to other things, don't we? Between the white lines on the highway, we're very careful. When you start drifting, they actually put those little things, bumping those things, because you're going to get into trouble over there, right? And if you had a child or a friend or a little kid or something's running out in the street, guess what you're going to do? You're going to yell, "Hey! Don't go there. Jerk them by the hand. Pull their arm out of the socket if you need to. Because you want them safe. You don't want to be run over with a car." I don't literally mean pull the arm out of the socket, but I guess... but I guess you had the choice. What do you want? A dead child or a child with a bad arm for a while? Watch out for the elderly person. You hold the railing. In fact, you're in such a condition, you shouldn't even go up and down those steps anymore. Because we know how it can end up with a broken hip or whatever. So he says to Timothy, be careful about your life. And he says, be careful about the teaching, doesn't he? Be careful about the teaching. Persist in the teaching. What is he talking about there? Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Well, if you read the next letter, 2 Timothy 3, here's the teaching. But as for you, Paul writing to Timothy again, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. That's the teachings. The sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. What's in this book is the teaching he's talking about. It's now written down and preserved for us in writing so that we can actually open it up and look at it. How privileged we are. We have them everywhere. Bibles everywhere. Patrick Henry once said, the early patriot, he said, the Bible is worth all the other books that have ever been printed. You know why it's worth all the other books that have ever been printed? Because it tells you how to get from earth to heaven. How to get from brokenness to something more heavenly. But we've got to persist in watching our lives. If we're Christians, truly, if you aren't adjusting your life, you better ask yourself, am I trusting Christ or not? And if we are, some days we're troubled in our conscience, and that's a good thing. It's whenever you ease into a lifestyle or into an immoral pattern or a habit that is not fit for you or good for you, and it doesn't even bother you. That is a bad place to be, a terrible place to be. And so we adjust our lifestyle. We watch over it if we know that it's troubling to Christ. It should be troubling to us. If it bothers Him, it should bother you. And we watch over the teaching. If we lose what's here in the book, we're really in trouble. And of course, when at the center of the book, what is it all about, really? It's about the second Adam. The first Adam messed it up. So the second Adam, Christ, came and he made it right. That's what he did with his life record. He did what every Adam that's ever been born, and Tom and John and Mary and whatever, we haven't gotten it right. So Christ came to live a perfect life. You have His perfect life record, if you'll believe it. And then He paid the penalty for what we deserve. Now you're cleansed through His sacrificial death, if you believe it. So now the rest of our life, as we're forgiven, we're pure, we need to keep adjusting. If we give up on adjusting our lives and give up on Christ and His teaching, you have nothing. Truth is, I have nothing to give you. That's all I can give you is Jesus. The perfect remedy. The perfect way from earth to heaven. And so we, to conclude, the question is, will you continue adjusting your life around Christ and His teachings? From Sunday to Sunday, it's the best way, the only way, really, to get to heaven is to keep on trusting and following Him. And it's the best way to help those around us to see how to get there. To paraphrase today's scripture, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persisting in this, for by so doing, this is how you will save yourself and those around you who are watching. Let us pray. Father, we pray for pastors like Timothy, teachers, moms and dads. We pray for those who are sisters or a brother, for Christian bosses, or Christian workers. Any of us who name the name of Christ, grant us grace to keep watching over our lives from Sunday to Sunday and keep holding to the teachings of Christ. Grant us grace to keep persevering, that we ourselves in the end will experience the new heavens and the new earth, the heavenly place we've been looking for, and that our loved ones and those around us may also follow behind. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.